everyone. This is Anastasia.
And this is Lauren. And I have caffeine.
Caffeine. You're listening to Wait to Panic, a podcast where two friends take turns trying to scare one another shitless. And this week, it's both of our turns.
Scary stories.
Because it's spooky time.
Spookums.
Spookums.
Spookums in the morning, spookums in the evening, spookums at night. I've only had like two sips of my coffee.
Two sips. That's a lot of coffee.
Two. I don't normally drink real coffee for obvious reasons.
Right.
But it's like, not as so tasty.
I've had multiple coworkers who are like, I don't understand how you don't drink coffee. I was like, look, do you want to take a big broom and try and poke me off the rafters? Because that's why I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, I will be hovering up there like an owl, just like, whoo, whoo. And fluttering them out.
Uncomfortably. Because I don't know about you, but like if I have caffeine, it's just like uncomfortable sweatiness.
Okay, I don't get that. What I get is I irritate everyone around me.
Fair.
Yeah,
fair point.
Because I turn into a hyperactive four-year-old.
Well, ADHD and caffeine kind of...
Yeah, that'll do it.
Kind of do that.
Yep. Also, just pointing out, not making fun, literally am ADHD. And it's just factual.
Yep.
But yeah.
And I'm just caffeine intolerant because I would like to sleep at some point.
I can only do it early in the morning.
Like 5 o'clock early.
Okay, I'm not that early because I sleep like a human. But 6 a.m., sure. 6, 7, yeah. That's okay.
That was when I was on, like, day shift. Yeah.
If I was getting up at 5 a.m., coffee would be a requirement.
Yeah.
Anywho. Just, yeah.
How about happies?
Happies. Let's do happies.
Happies. I am super excited that we're coming up on our 1 year mark.
Yeah. And we are almost there.
Oh, I am still blown away, like, how many listeners we've had in our first year. Because it's
exciting.
So many more than I expected.
So many more. And also, I'm just very proud of us that we are making it through a full year.
We are.
Like, yay, go us.
And one day we'll see each other in person again.
I hope. I still have your Christmas present, by the way.
I still have your Christmas present. I still have Christmas presents that I haven't mailed, and I'm so sorry, Allison. I will send that out one day. And your birthday present. Oh,
yeah.
I'm horrible.
You're not horrible. It's what it is. It's fine.
Lauren, it's literally in the box. I just have to go to the post office, but I hate it so much.
Could you ask Blake to go?
I probably could. I could.
'Tis an option.
It is. You're right.
It's the joy of having a partner.
What about you?
My happy. Okay, so I'm going to do two. One, I get to go do some fun dog training with Coda later today with my friend Angie from our tri-ball class. And that's going to be awesome. And two is that we are going to be taking a little bit of time off post our 1 year mark. So
yes, we will still be busy, but
there will not be recordings for a couple of weeks because we're going to try and build up a backlog to not have every weekend be scatter filled for ourselves. And I'm excited about that.
And we're going to work on some merch.
Yeah. Merchums.
Because we've been getting asks about those, and
it sounds
fun. We need to do something.
I'll make you things. Who wants me to paint you a picture? I'll paint you a little picture.
She makes really cute hippo paintings.
I do make cute hippo paintings. I still need to paint you one as well.
You do?
Yeah. I'll paint you a hippo picture. Maybe that'll be done before I give you your Christmas present.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. So yeah, those are the happies.
Those are our happies.
Want to dive into some spookums?
Yes, absolutely. We have a whole day to recover.
Yes.
And it's even kind of sunny out.
Oh.
At least here.
Fingers crossed that that stays because Angie and I were worried that it was going to be rainy while we were trying to do tri-ball outside.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. So do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. So this is a story called My Bathroom from
oh no
F Reads 92 in the subreddit True Scary Stories. So
okay,
thank you F Reads 92. So I'm a person who loves horror stories and movies. Although I do get really frightened, I still like to watch them. I basically put up an act in front of others to look like I'm brave, but in reality, I'm not. Ditto, F Reads 92.
Ditto.
This happened recently around the start of December. I live in a house in London and the oldest out of my siblings. It was around 7 p.m. in the evening. My siblings and my parents were all downstairs in the kitchen. I was upstairs in my bedroom with the door open doing crochet. Okay, F Reads 92, I love you.
Let's be friends.
I started it a few months ago. So directly opposite my room is the bathroom. Nobody was on the floor besides myself. So basically, I can see who enters or leaves the bathroom. And keep in mind that the door handle of the bathroom is quite stiff. So it makes a loud noise and you have to push down on it. I remember I was humming a song whilst crocheting. The lights were turned off in the bathroom, and I heard a faint noise, but I ignored and brushed it off. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw the bathroom door opening, and it made a noise, and only opened a quarter and stopped.
Oh, that's even worse.
It's so bad. I physically froze, then realized what was happening. I didn't check to see if there was anyone or anything inside. I ran down the stairs screaming and shouting that there was someone in the bathroom. My dad running upstairs with a pan. Yes. And so did the rest of my family to see if anyone was there. When my dad got to the bathroom, the door was still a quarter opened. He opened it fully to see nothing there. Everything was in place. I was freaked out, frightened, and laughing at the same time. Yes. I kept thinking about what happened. When he told me there was nothing there, I swear I saw something from the corner of my eye but couldn't tell because the lights in the bathroom were off. Nothing ever happened again, but whenever my parents are not home, I feel something and start freaking, but don't show it. I just shut the bedroom door. Whatever it is, I get bad feelings. Anyway, that's my story. Please comment and share similar experiences. Oh my God, I don't like it.
I don't like that. Oh.
Yeah.
And you know, since it's London, it's an older house usually.
Well, and I mean, if you have like a big noise and you have to like push down on the knob, like that's definitely something that's an older house for sure. But like, oh. Efforts 92. What?
I don't like that.
Have you considered sage? How about a cleansing ritual?
Any kind of cleansing herb.
Salt at your bedroom door, perhaps.
Red brick dust, anything.
Options.
So many options.
That's my first one.
I
relate to it too much. I feel like anytime I've woken up in the middle of the night and gone to the bathroom, it always kind of has that feeling. And it's not great to have it verified that other people are having these things in like middle of the day.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay, so from the paranormal subreddit, I've got from Doom Mateo one that I'm sorry for all of mine, but this one for sure. So, to give some context, my fiancé and I recently went through a life-altering traumatic event in which he almost died, and we've been staying with my dad and his girlfriend in another city at their house. According to my dad's girlfriend, her house has a long history of paranormal events. She used to foster children, and she said many of them, as well as her own children, witnessed a woman in a brown dress or a little boy that was dripping wet.
Oh.
Until now, I've never experienced anything relatively spooky in her house, and I've never seen either of these apparitions. Last night, my fiancé and I were trying to sleep at about 2 a.m. I was about to drift off, and while I was trying to sleep, I heard what sounded like very tired footsteps in the hall. My fiancé went still and asked if our dog Mina was still in the was in the hallway. I said no, she's asleep at the end of our bed. I told him it's probably my dad or his girlfriend heading to the bathroom across the hall from our room. And he said, no, just listen. I listened and I heard very slow footsteps. I assumed my dad had let one of his dogs out of his bedroom because we heard claws on the floor. I thought this was strange because typically he kept the dogs in his room all night. I looked at my dog. She was now alert and staring at the door. Her fur spiked up on her back and her ears towards the noise. The sound moved away from our door, still very slowly, and we heard scratching on the floor, like a dog dragging their claws on hardwood. It sounded inconsistent, like the footsteps were in a jerking, twitching motion.
Ugh.
It sounds like it's going to the basement, my fiancé whispered. I was still convinced it was one of my dad's dogs, so I got out of bed to check on her. It sounded like she was limping very badly. When I opened the door, my dog Mina let out a low growl. She usually follows me everywhere, but that night she refused to follow or leave the room and stayed by my fiancé's side. I left the room without Mina and searched for Lady or Opal, which were my dad's dogs. I couldn't see either of them and didn't hear anything. Then I heard that same scratching, dragging noise coming from the basement. This is where it gets really weird. A dog can't go to the basement. My dad keeps a baby gate at the top of the stairs so the dogs can't go down there. My heart sank, and I felt pure dread. I ran back to the room as quickly and quietly as I could and reported to my sleepy fiancé. He was just as confused as I was about the weird dragging noise, our dog's fear, and the basement. How could something that sounded like a slow limping dog get over the gate and down the stairs so quietly? We didn't get much sleep last night. This morning, I asked my dad if he had let one of his dogs out, and he said no, they were in his room all night as usual. This reminded me of a creepypasta I'd read years ago about a creepy dragging noise, which made it even more unnerving. I never did see anything, but we both heard something and felt on edge all night. If anyone has any ideas on what the hell we heard, I'd love to hear it. There are no places for an animal to hide or escape in the basement, so we ruled out a raccoon or some other medium to large animal. If it was some kind of entity, I wonder if it could have had something to do with our recent trauma.
Oh my god, I don't like it.
Mm-mm.
I don't like it at all.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't like that. Lauren's just over there making nope faces.
It's a big nope from me. I don't.
I can picture slash hear what that sound sounds like.
I hate it, and I don't like it, and that's all.
Yep.
Because, frankly, I can hear it in my head. I can see it. Why would you get out of bed? Why did you? No, like, go under the covers. That's where it's safe, under the covers.
I get it. Like, if you're worried about your dad's dog being hurt, maybe, but, 2 a.m. is not the time to investigate.
No. Okay. You ready for another one?
Always.
This is from user I slapped a penguin.
Okay.
And they do say that it's a throwaway account, so
yep, fair enough.
I don't know if they have another one. I'm guessing they have reasons for wanting this to be more anonymous than an anonymous user account. I like your username one way or another. I don't condone animal violence, but I slapped a penguin is just a ridiculous statement and I enjoy it. Okay. Throwaway account. Let me read the title of the story. A hunter chased me in the park when I was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah. So, throwaway account. I wanted to write this story for over a year, but didn't know if people would find it interesting, so here it goes. This happened in the early 2000s and was probably in first grade or a year younger, and this was in Bulgaria. I am from a mid-sized town, not too small and not too big, the perfect one for raising your children. Crime is pretty much unheard of, and you can sleep outside on a bench and nothing would happen to you. Which,
wow.
Dream.
All right.
One weekend, some family friends from a nearby town came to my town to visit, and my parents and I decided to go to the park with them. Now, it's important to say that all of the parks in my town are located right on the edge of town, so they are actually parks / forests. At some point, the park becomes a forest. Love it. Since it is not a very big town, we don't have central parks. In the park that we went to, it runs along a river, so it's a very narrow alley, but a very long one. And on one side, there is the river, and on the other, there's thick forest and cliffs. At that time, I didn't like that park so much because it was a very long walk and you had to walk a lot to get to the end of it. So, like most kids, I got bored of walking with my parents and the other family since they were talking grown-up stuff. Reasonable. And I didn't want to listen to them. I decided to run off ahead, and by ahead, I mean out off-site from my parents. Keep in mind that this is a one-alley park, which you walk only straight forward with slight curves due to the river, so I had gone pretty far. Usually, in this park, there are always people and it is quite crowded on the weekends. But since it was summer, most people were on family vacations and it was surprisingly empty and I couldn't see anyone in a straight line in either way. At that point, I started hearing something in the forest, which was pretty loud, and since on the other side was a river and it was that was loud by itself. I stopped and started staring in the forest and I saw how the bushes were moving and coming in my direction. But I was still pretty clueless to what was happening until I saw a freaking man with long hair, a band across his forehead, dressed like a hunter, with an air rifle on his back, running full speed towards me. There was no freezing moment. I just started running in the opposite direction and screaming my lungs out for my parents, hoping that they could hear me. But because of the river, I doubt that anyone could have heard me from 100 meters away. Oh, I remember looking backward and seeing him still chasing me, and I was thinking, okay, maybe this is the end. It's over. And I was imagining how he would catch me and drag me into the forest, and I would never see my family and friends again. It felt like an eternity, but I finally saw my parents and our friends. My whole face was red. I was crying and snotting like crazy, barely breathing. The hunter also stopped running after he saw my parents and the others. I remember my parents started screaming at him, like, what the hell was he doing? Reasonable. I don't remember what exactly he said. I was just relieved that it was over, but I remember him shaking his head like, I did nothing wrong. I was only trying to help him. The weirdest part was that there was no game in that park. It's a park, after all, and the forest that he was hiding in is maximum 50 meters in width before the cliffs begin. So it's impossible to have any game there since there are always people walking there. You can see wild foxes, but that's about it. You need to go beyond the park out into the forest to hunt game. Also, it's highly illegal to carry a firearm out in public. We have very strict laws on firearms. Once police or military personnel, only police or military personnel are allowed to carry firearms. I don't know anyone who owns a gun. Civilians are allowed to register only air guns for hunting. No hardcore weapons allowed, and of course, you are not allowed to carry them in a park where there are people, only in regulated zones for hunting game away from populated zones. You would never see hunters like that unless you go to these zones or you are in a village, which is rare. No, we didn't report it afterward. Too much of a hassle. This is the first and last time something like that has happened to me ever, thankfully, and I haven't developed fear from that place. Even now, when I go back to my town, I go running in that park after midnight and I'm perfectly fine. So, to the crazy hunter in the park who was only trying to help, let's never meet again. TLDR, as a kid, I was running in the park far away from my parents and a crazy hunter pulled off the Vietnamese war on me as the tree started talking and I was chased by him until I finally reached my parents.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a story.
Uh-huh. Oof. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, you found a people hunter. Huh.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't like it. Also, hey, United States. You hear all those regulations that can help you identify if someone's a crazy person? Let's do that.
Right.
Let's do it. Personal opinion.
Yeah. I find it interesting that, like, we sync up on stories every now and then.
Oh, geez. Did we sync up on something?
Yeah.
Okay. Because
this is also, like, a out of sight from my parents. Oh, something God. Weird happened.
Okay.
I love this username because it makes me laugh.
Okay. I slapped a penguin.
Again, from the paranormal subreddit, user poo too much.
Oh, God. okay.
I didn't write down what this one was titled, but it says, I have pretty much kept this story to myself. I remember telling one person who told me, don't repeat that. Don't mess with whatever that was. So I didn't. I guess read this at your own risk, which we're gonna.
Okay. Thanks. Cool.
Also, I apologize if you hear my stomach growling. When I was 10, I went with my parents to this campground so they could visit with their friends. They had a son who I got along with who was the same age. Sometimes, however, if there were other kids around, the son would try and pick on me to impress them.
Ugh, rude.
Myself and the son went fishing, and right as we're about to leave, another kid comes and joins us, and so he immediately starts picking on me. Not wanting to be stuck on a boat and teased, I decided to leave and walk back to the campground by myself. I didn't want to go straight back to my parents because they'd asked why I wasn't with that son, and I didn't want to get into it. So I just walked around this U-shaped road. In the center of the U are campers, and the other side is woods with a lake around it. Mm-hmm. At the very center of the U is a park. Perfect, I think. I'll just go sit on the swings until I think enough time has passed to go back. As I'm on the swings, I notice a path directly across from me, so I got up and start walking along this dirt path. There are reeds on either side of me, and I have my hands stretched out as I walk dead center of this path. My hands can just barely touch these reeds unless I move closer to one side or the other. I'm walking for about 10 minutes, maybe, and I get to this pond. Crystal clear water, and I have the urge to drink it. Don't do it. It looks so refreshing. I kneel down, and suddenly the hairs on the back of my neck go straight up. It was like I snapped back into myself. What am I doing? I thought. Why am I about to drink pond water? And why did I walk back down this path? I started feeling really uneasy, so I turned around and started walking the same way I came. Let me clarify. There was only one path. Straight. I made no turns. I didn't walk around this pond. I simply walked to the end of the path, got freaked out about something, and turned around. Suddenly, all types of bugs were now around me. I kept walking, and I noticed the dirt path is getting more and more narrow. The reeds and tall grass are now at my arms, and there's a constant buzzing feeling in my ear from all these bugs. The path got so narrow that I had to walk sideways to avoid the reeds. I yelled out for help, and I hear a voice ask if I'm okay. I reply, "I'm lost," and a woman says, "Just walk straight, honey. I see you." I see nothing. It's just tall grass and reeds. So I walk a few feet and see the road. I'm scratched from head to toe, and there's a woman by the playground asking me what happened. She takes a Kleenex out of her pocketbook and starts wiping some of the scratches as I tell her what happened. I look behind me and see no path.
Ugh.
I'm at the same park, I'm in front of the swing I was just on, and the woman looks at me and tells me I shouldn't even think about it and just forget what happened because I'm okay now. But she really emphasized not to talk about it. I've always been on the fence about this. I'm sure there was one path and one path out. One path in, one path out. The bugs could have steered me off course, and maybe I'm just being paranoid. Or maybe something sinister nearly trapped me there for good.
Yeah, the fae were trying to take you. That sounds fae as fuck.
Yeah, that's... Something was trying to keep you there.
And
I got such strong, like, Persephone vibes off of the, like, drink the water.
Mm-hmm. Just like, it's okay. Eat the pomegranate.
Right? Ugh. Well, poo too much. I'm glad you're okay.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the name during that story. yeah. Okay. Okay. I have two, and I would just want to do one of them, but which one do I want to do? Okay, so this is from the username was deleted, so I'm guessing they're no longer a Redditor, and it's from subreddit Let's Not Meet. It's called I Was Almost Kidnapped at a Christmas Market.
Oh no.
So when I was 7 or 8-ish, my parents took me to a Christmas market that had tons of activities for kids. I didn't know this at the time, but my parents were fighting and thus preoccupied and just mostly left me on my own. The way it worked was you bought some vouchers at the door and then could go inside and use one voucher for one activity. There was stuff like baking cookies, painting stuff, wood burning for older kids, the usual. It was pretty fantastic. Some of the stuff had queues if there was a lot of interest. Now, I'd gotten about 10 vouchers and activities about 15 minutes, and my parents were in a cafe in the building but well out of sight. Since it was an area you could only get into if you accompanied a kid or were a kid, I guess they felt safe leaving me alone. I'll laugh my ass off. this was allowed, but not encouraged. Anyway, I was queuing for my favorite activity there, the fabric painting section, where you got a piece of linen and could draw Christmas patterns and stuff on it. It was already my third time, but whatever, right? I had to queue.
Do what you love.
Do what you love. I had to queue, and when I was about halfway to the entrance, someone grabbed my arm. I panicked immediately because my parents would never have touched me like that, and I knew nobody else there. I yelped and tried to pull away, but couldn't. Turning, I saw it was an older lady, maybe 40s or 50s, not sure. She was well-dressed, looked pretty strict, but normal. Anyway, she was pulling me out of the queue against my will. I tried to yell and asked her to let me go, but she just said something like, "You always do this. Come on, Marie." My name is not Marie, not even close. I yelled as much, still thinking that she just confused me for someone else. I was a pretty average-looking girl with a brunette ponytail, nothing particularly special, nor were my clothes. She looked down at me again, scoffed, and told me to stop throwing a tantrum and that we were going home. It was at that exact moment that I realized if I didn't escape, she would take me away. So I just basically opened my mouth and screamed at the top of my lungs. Not words, just a screech. Before that, I'd mostly just asked to be released. Loud, but not full-on screaming. I was a polite kid. She paused mid-step because clearly I'd startled her, but didn't let go yet. So I just screamed about the only thing I could really make sense of. My name is Sam. This was the first time that people actually looked at us as more than a mom or grandma and a kid in a tantrum, because I'm clearly too old to not know my name and also visibly scared. I was still trying to pull away, but she had a grip on my forearm like a vice. I made eye contact with the first random person I saw looking over, a guy, early 30s, I guess. Definitely younger than her. I just pled for him to help me, and he actually came over at that point.
Good guy.
We were in sight of the exit. She dragged me quite far, and I guess at that point she decided it was too much of a hassle and let me go. Since I'd been fighting her, I immediately slammed into the ground, which actually prompted more people to step up to help me. I was sobbing, and as soon as I could get to my feet, ran the other way to my parents. I must have barreled into 10-plus people and kids on the way to where I knew my parents were. It was a cafe, like I said, and they were in the middle. My mom had super recognizable fake red hair, so even sobbing, I could see her easily. I banged into a table, knocked stuff off, and just threw myself at my mother. Yes. I was in no state to explain, and she was both mad at me for making a scene and really fucking worried because I was not the type to cause a disturbance, pretty much ever. I wanted to explain but couldn't. There was a bit of a commotion around with people being nosy, but as I calmed down, I realized that the guy I had begged for help was explaining to my parents what had happened. I hadn't even noticed him come with, but I kind of tuned in when he kept asking if my grandma was here or something, not even in the same country, just me and my parents, and if I could have known her. Obviously, my mother confirmed that was not the case and asked if what he'd told her was right. He'd confirmed that some woman was dragging me off, calling me Marie. My parents, the guy, his son, who was a fair few years older than me, maybe 15 or so, went with me, a 30-year-old with a 15-year-old son, jeezums.
Well, maybe it's a stepson.
That's true. Could be. I mean, either way.
Yeah.
My parents, the guy, his son, who was a fair few years older than me, maybe 15 or so, went with me to security, where I tried and failed to describe the lady. The guy had a much better description of her, but she was obviously long gone. I think they called the police, but I never spoke to any cops that I can remember. I felt really awkward and sorry that I ruined the other kid's day there, so I gave him the rest of my vouchers so he could do more stuff if he wanted. He was really nice and gave me a pack of the cookies he baked to eat while the parents were talking. I don't remember any of their names or anything, but I remember how grateful I was to the kid, more so than his dad even. It just really comforted me that I had another kid around who was nice. Anyway, my parents took me home ASAP, of course, and we never went to that place again. There was a short story in the newspaper the next day about a kidnapping scare, my mom told me some years later. But it was all just speculation, and they didn't even confirm in the paper if it was an attempt or just a misunderstanding. Well, it sure as shit wasn't a misunderstanding. They never caught the lady or did any follow-ups, as far as I'm aware. I actually had bruises on my arm where she gripped me through my sweater. I still don't like Christmas markets much. I don't blame you.
That's fair.
I would not like them either.
Ugh.
Yeah. I found all the weird kids' stories today.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I found all the horrifying stories.
You really did.
Okay, so this is going to be my last one, but it's fairly long.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Let's scroll back up to the top of it. So, again, paranormal subreddit, because that's as much of Reddit as I comprehend. user Spiral Eater.
Oh, I like your name.
Yeah. So it starts off with, as a warning, this is going to be a very long post. I will try and be concise and organized as possible, but this is my third draft of trying to tell the story as neatly as possible. There have been many different events, and there are a lot of details to comb through. The reason I'm making this post is to share my experience, but also to possibly seek advice. This has reached a breaking point that has left me scared and possibly ready to seek help, be it a spiritual medium, an exorcist, or a psychologist, I don't care at this point. I believe that something is harassing myself, my girlfriend, my house, my family, and more importantly, my children.
Oh.
I do not think this is a passive being, and every time something new happens, I believe more and more this is possibly dangerous. To give some backstory, I'm 26, my girlfriend is 22. We're going to call her B. Because we like bees, B and I have been friends for many years, but we've only been dating a little over a year. I have children from a previous failed marriage. They visit on the weekends, and after the divorce, I moved back in with my parents to restart and get back on my feet. I no longer live there, but I found this information relevant, as this is where most of the story takes place. I often travel for my job, and this is also relevant, but not until much later in the story. So my girlfriend, B, she sees things. She also hears things. She has described many horrifying visions and sounds. I know that she experienced this, and while I have also had my own experiences, I've never experienced anything like what she describes. I've never judged her for what she describes, and I've always kept an open mind. I believe in the paranormal, but I also believe in people needing psychiatric help. I've always thought that B's experiences are one or the other, but as for which one has always been irrelevant to me. I'm here for her, and when the time comes that things reach a boil, I'll continue to be there for her. Good
partner. Job, buddy. I like you.
Yeah. It did not take long after we started dating for me to also share some of her experiences. They started off very simple and easy to brush off. Not feeling right in certain parts of the house, feeling watched, seeing a shadow thing in my vision. These are the kinds of things that we naturally write off as tricks of the imagination, stress, or what have you, even though we'd both see it at the same time. She says that the things she usually sees are not of great detail. If she was to observe them, she would never be able to make out details, nor make sense of words that she hears. No facial details, clothing details, anything of that nature. I don't know if this means that they're just pure black, or if they're more of a blur. She says there are two exceptions. Two things that she has seen repeatedly throughout her life, and they're the only two things she's ever been able to make details out of. Tub man and nose guy.
Mm.
I believe it's best not to give them names, but this is what she calls them. Okay.
I mean, if they show up often enough, it's hard not to give them a name.
Yep. Okay. Tub man, she has seen in several houses, her childhood home, our friend's house, and others. She describes him as being skinny and lanky and wearing red shoes. She's never seen his top half too well, or his face, because whenever she sees him, he's already halfway in the tub. That's it. She'll see him crawling from the floor into the tub as if he was a spider, and she always catches those red shoes of his. I want to say she said he's in normal clothes, but I can't say for certain. The shoes are just always what stands out.
Creepy.
Nose man, on the other hand, she has only seen in her childhood home. And he's not so much a man as he is a nose. I know this sounds silly, like some kind of Cronenberg monster. Just a giant fleshy nose man that looks at her and watches her. I don't even know if he has eyes. Now, I know this may not seem relevant, but trust me, I've tried to leave out any detail that I find irrelevant. So I'm going to delve into our experiences together. When you enter my parents' house, there's the living room immediately in front, the kitchen to your left through the passway with the pantry and the garage door, and stairs to your right. So left, kitchen, front, living room, right, stairs. Stairs going up, stairs going down. Upstairs is my sister's room and my parents' room. Downstairs is another small living space, a bathroom, and what became mine and B's room. I'm going to mostly skip over all the smaller experiences of us not feeling right in that smaller living space downstairs. To be brief, until we moved in, it had mostly went unused. And shortly after we moved in, I realized I did not like one particular corner of that room. Neither did B. There were a lot of times when we'd find the lights on in closets downstairs when no one was home or in the middle of the night. Ugh. Sometimes when we would pass by to go to the bedroom, we'd feel like something was rushing at us.
Ugh.
The first real experience for both of us that I can remember had us really freaked out was while she was using the bathroom. I was in the bedroom, which is directly next to the bathroom, lying in bed on my phone. It was about midday, and she had to come back into the bedroom and ask what I wanted. I wasn't sure what she meant, and had asked her to explain. She said I was knocking on the bathroom door and asking to come in. She said it was locked, and she had asked me to wait. I assured her it definitely was not me, and I would have heard someone knocking on the door. She seemed a bit frazzled and assured me it was definitely my voice. Jump to both of us showering one day. We had wrapped up and gotten dressed in the bathroom. She went to leave and said something is holding the door shut. I didn't believe her initially, so I came over and turned the handle very firmly but slowly and opened the door. It had barely cracked open before, and I swear on my life, the handle very firmly twisted the other way in my fucking hand and slammed shut. I immediately swung the door open and rushed out of the bathroom to confront whoever was there, but of course, there was no one there. This was almost a year ago now, but if I'm trying to keep a chronological order, I believe this is what happened next. I was off at work and she was still in bed. She heard my computer chair creaking multiple times and felt someone was in the room and had pulled the blanket up over her head a bit and taken a peek. Ugh, brave lady. She later described to me a pale, gaunt woman sitting in my chair, smiling.
Ugh!
Smiling and staring at her. Ugh, okay. I don't remember if she said there was something unnatural about her smile, but I believe she said it seemed like it was an unnaturally large smile. Also, she had eyes. Not blank, not black. I don't recall what color she said her hair or eyes were, as I'm colorblind, and that color didn't stick with, or the detail didn't stick with me. She said, my ears work, and my eyes don't, but regardless, I don't remember. Though if I recall, her hair was not black, it was a lighter color, such as blonde or soft brown, long and thin. I wish I'd asked more about this woman, such as what she was wearing, or any descriptive features, but B seemed very stressed about this incident, so I didn't push for any more details. The reason this stressed her out so badly was because she could see the woman. It wasn't like all the other times. Mm-hmm. She was like Nose Guy and the Tub Man. She could see every detail. She turned back over and pretended to go to sleep and wait for me to get home. I never saw her. Before COVID got too bad, and us being ignorant of how bad it was going to be, we had taken a trip to Michigan. The whole family, except for my sister, she stayed behind to watch the house and feed the animals. We were gone for the week, and Bea and I had gotten home the following weekend before my parents. It was already late at night. We were unpacking the car, and she'd run inside. I kept unpacking, but suddenly overwhelmed with the sickening feeling of being watched. It was worse than any other time before. And for some reason, I kept looking to the side of the house that led around to the back of the house. I eventually grabbed some luggage and rushed inside. I had just gotten inside and closed the front door, and immediately my attention was drawn to the window in the back. I couldn't see anything there, but it felt like something was looking right back at me, just out of sight in the darkness. And then I noticed to my right, one of our cats was also sitting, staring at the window. I tried snapping my fingers and saying her name, but she didn't even flick her ear towards me. Just sat staring. B came upstairs and we went outside to grab some more luggage. I mentioned to her that I felt like I was being watched. I didn't mention the window, but she immediately jumped in and said she felt like someone was watching from the back window. We hurriedly got everything back inside and talked to my sister. We asked her how the week was, and she said everything was fine. We know she was in her room, and while that makes perfect sense for any teenage girl to be sitting in her room, it isn't like her. She always sits in the living room, surrounded by the animals, and watches YouTube videos on the TV. We asked her if anything seemed strange while we were gone, but we kept it very vague. She, too, had filled in the blanks, even pointed to the same window. She said she hadn't left her room any more than she possibly had to in the last few days because suddenly she felt like she was being watched from that window.
Mm-hmm.
We eventually grabbed flashlights, brave souls, mm-hmm. and investigated the backyard, obviously to no avail, so we moved on. The next event seems strange to note, but just like everything else, bear with me, there's a reason I take note of it. While I was staying with my parents, I unfortunately didn't have a bed for both the children. So they both slept on the same bed. Really, it was a pull-out mattress from the sofa in the downstairs living space. Not an amazing setup, but I was trying to do what I could just to see my girls. I would set them up at night in that bed and give them each one of their favorite stuffed animals, and I let them watch TV with almost no volume just to help them fall asleep. I'm aware that I really shouldn't let them have the TV on when they're sleeping, but I sympathize with the idea of being scared of the dark.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, I still sleep with the TV on.
100%.
Or
noise yeah. of some kind. Like.
Or, yep, I said, or rather some kind of noise like fan music or some kind of light. Yeah, absolutely. I don't like tea or dark on top of pure silence.
Nope.
Maybe I'm a scaredy cat, but the point is, I let the girls keep the TV on. So, said maybe some of that detail's unnecessary, but it's my story to tell, so I'm telling it. My youngest daughter is known to get up and seek out an adult, for no reason other than probably comfort. She doesn't come crying, scared, or anything of that nature. Just kind of gets up, finds an adult, and is like, hey, can I hang out here too? But not in so many words. To which, you usually just have to tell her it's bedtime and go lie down, and she'll go right back to bed. It's just something she does. So, one night we noticed that, more than usual, she did not want to seem to stay in bed. Usually she'll knock on the door, and I'll send her back to bed. This happened a couple times, but the only time she'd go upstairs was if she heard someone else, such as my dad. So on this night, with her continuing to get out of bed, we wanted to know if there was a particular reason. We had our lights off, and we cracked the door. We were keeping an eye on her, and after a short period, we saw her get up again. We didn't hear anything or see anything that would have made her get up and check if someone was there, but she walked over to the bottom of the stairs and just stared up the stairs for a very uncomfortably long amount of time. We watched her, unsure of what to do. Obviously, we knew we needed to put her back down, but I think we were just curious if she was going to turn around and knock on the door again or go lie back down herself. There is, and I need to stress this, almost no lights upstairs. I mean, you really can't see anything. Everyone's asleep. There's not a single sound. The only glow of light is not from the middle floor, but this upstairs hallway. She starts climbing the stairs. It's a short set of stairs, but she's climbing. She reaches the top, and B and I slowly open the door and come out. As quietly as we possibly could, we climb the stairs after her. She had went through the small passageway between the pantry and the garage into the kitchen, and she's just fucking standing there. In the dark, we can barely see her. She's standing in the middle of the kitchen and staring in the blackness towards the corner of the kitchen by the window above the sink. Take note of the window above the sink. After an uncomfortable amount of time, we say her name, and she jolts, turns around, says hi, and comes up to give me a hug. We ask her if something's wrong, and what is she doing? She quite literally just shrugs her little shoulders, points towards the kitchen window area, then puts her head on me. So we take her downstairs, put her to bed, and we don't sleep right away until this uneasy feeling passes. Again, trying to keep things chronological, the next incident I can think of happened in the middle of the day while my girls were visiting. My girls are very young, but I'm not going to disclose their ages. Good call. Mm-hmm. I'll say one of them is young enough to not quite make coherent sentences, but does love to talk. The older of the two is no longer a toddler. She's a kid, and before I know it, she'll be a teenager. Mm-hmm. So my dad, B, and I were outside together putting a swing set together for my kids, which if you've ever put one together, then you know it's not as fun as using the swing set. It's actually quite a hassle, and it was taking a lot more time than we thought it was going to. Admittedly, I don't recall where my mother or sister were, but I recall they were not there. So we had set the kids up at the kitchen table with some kinetic sand. Oh, Jesus, this was very recent then. With kinetic sand and Legos. Figured that could be some good messy fun for us to clean up after building the swing set. We'd work on the swing set and go check on the children from time to time. And I should note that the kids can see us from the window. And we could see them. The window was even open. Suddenly, B described feeling sick to me. Like something wasn't right. So I asked her to go check on the kids and kept on with the swing set. She went in and was immediately struck with an even worse feeling. She asked my oldest daughter where her sister was, and she said she went upstairs with Mama, which was what she called my mother. My mom wasn't even fucking home. Even writing that out made me feel nauseous, probably because my children were involved. B ran upstairs, and she described feeling a weird sensation. As she described it, when she was talking to my daughter, she couldn't hear anything else. But as she reached the top of the stairs, she could very clearly hear my younger daughter screaming and crying that she wanted out. Ugh. She tried the door, and it was locked. She ran downstairs to get a butter knife and rushed back up, unlocked it, and went inside. She had to unlock my parents' bathroom door as well. Got my youngest daughter out and held her. She said she dried tears on her face, but she couldn't have been gone that long. We were constantly keeping an eye on them through the window, even as we worked on the swing set. And B said she could hear her yelling the whole time, all of a sudden after she reached the top of the stairs. All the way back in the kitchen, she could hear her. So why couldn't she before, and why hadn't my older daughter heard her the whole time? Not to mention she knows how to lock and unlock doors, so how did she end up in that situation in the first place? Did she just start to panic and couldn't get the door unlocked? Or was it something else? I still think about my daughter saying she went upstairs with Mama. I feel like something is luring my daughter, and the idea of that woman that B had seen still makes me feel fucking sick. I just thought of a detail that's also kind of important for later. My parents have the master bedroom, of course. They have their own bathroom attached, and then the bathroom. Then from the bathroom is how you enter their closet. It's a walk-in closet. It's not a very strange setup since it's somewhat of a series of doors, and it's kind of bougie, but hey, it's not my house. After some time passes, my brother and his wife visit. Everything goes on as normal, and it's a good time. We play some Animal Crossing, we all hang out, and they're getting ready to leave, and somehow spooky stories are brought up. They were brought up by my brother's wife. Just fun stories. But we start telling them about some of the things we've experienced in the house. They exchange glances in what almost seemed to be a cartoon-like fashion. My brother's wife then asks us to go outside. Puzzled, but we went outside. She elaborated that she was afraid someone was in our house, and she didn't want them to hear us. Like a squatter in our attic or something. They began sharing stories of how bothered they've been in the past at this house. These were all before we moved in, some of which I don't recall, and at the time I couldn't relate to. Some others were similar to our experiences at the time. Same closets and same rooms that would have their lights on with the doors closed, and some doors would open or close when they weren't looking. This is really long.
Yeah, but this is horrifying.
Yep. Three of the stories stood out to be, so I will briefly tell those. First, my brother was playing the new Star Wars game on his PS4 downstairs, and his wife was upstairs. He saw someone in the corner of his eye walk down the stairs and go into the bathroom and close the door. They turned the light on as well, but after they closed the door, he assumed it was his wife. His wife was still upstairs, and he realized that she had opened the bathroom door. No one was in it. This is bothersome because the same bathroom where B had heard my voice when I wasn't there, and where someone had turned the handle and closed the door when B and I were trying to open it. Second, they were feeding the animals while the rest of the family was out of town. Again, we didn't live there yet, so my parents and my sister were out of town, They were feeding both dogs and both cats all weekend long. Randomly, in the middle of the week, they could no longer find one of the cats. They searched all over the house, and finally they'd gone upstairs and checked my parents' room. They ran out of other options, and they hadn't checked it previously because they had no reason over the whole weekend to go into my parents' room. The cat was not in my parents' room. Nor was it in the bathroom. It was in the fucking closet. You remember the setup I mentioned earlier? Uh-huh. How does a cat go through three doors, get stuck in a closet, when no one is home? The situation bothered me because it reminded me of what happened with my youngest daughter. It's also a good time to note we constantly find the cats in closets. Sometimes we don't even let them out. For example, when everyone in the house is sleeping, but her and I, we play games all night, would go to the mid-level to get food, we'd hear a door click open, look upstairs, and see a male cat walk out of the towel closet very nonchalantly. This has happened three different times. Nobody let him out, the door just opens, and he walks out. Cats are interdimensional creatures, I swear.
Yeah, they probably are.
Third story for my brother and his wife, and this one is kind of simple. They were house-sitting again, as they often did for my parents. My brother was staying up, playing games on his laptop, and he'd went outside to smoke. He was sitting on the bench outside, and this bench is right outside the kitchen, towards the back of the house. He had been there for some time, and the light from the kitchen window was shining across the ground. He said a woman walked into the window, and she was just standing there in the window. He said it scared him because he knew it wasn't his wife. The silhouette did not look like her, and he knew she was asleep. When he finally mustered up the courage to stand up and take a look in the window, there was no one there. The shadow was gone. When he went back inside, he confirmed his wife had been sleeping the whole time. The reason this story bothers me as well is because the window would be the window where my daughter was staring in the middle of the dark in the kitchen that night. One experience my sister was a part of was when I was on my way to work. I get a text from B. She's still in bed, but all it said was, "Oh God, something is in the room."
Ugh.
And a follow-up message about things getting knocked over and she's too scared to get out of bed. It's like 5:30 in the morning, still dark. I knew my sister would be up that early because, well, she's unhealthy, much like us. So I called her and asked her to go check on B. She went downstairs and turned the lights on. When she did, she saw my fan was knocked over, all the stuff on my dresser was knocked over, and all the stuff on the opposite. This is all on the opposite side of the room from where B is in bed. So they fixed everything and kept the lights on until the sun came up. There are two more stories before we're caught up with the present moment. Both of these stories are the most recent, and they have happened in the past 30 days. But they both concerned me because they all tie the events together and make them that much harder to understand. So as I said before, I travel for work, especially right now as the area of Indiana that I'm in is considered a red zone for COVID. So all local work has pretty much shut down. So about a month ago, we were on our way to a job in Georgia. There's not really much set up for what happened because it all happened very suddenly. We've been driving for many hours already, but we weren't overly tired or anything. We always stop for naps in the car or anything like that if we think we're getting too tired on a long road trip. We've been driving on the highway for most of the trip, but as we're getting close to the destination, the GPS had taken us off on some of the local roads for the rest of the trip, which we found odd because I didn't think Albany was off the beaten path. We got into a decent stretch of road in the backwoods of Georgia on our way to Albany, but we still had a ways to go. We both started feeling a little off about the road we were on. Nothing too specific, but just a feeling that creeps up on you, you know? Realizing that I could always turn my brights on because I'm no longer on the highway and maybe it would help us feel a bit better to be able to see more of what's around us, I decided that's what I would do. That's always such a debatable thing.
Yeah, I always go back and forth on if that's going to help or hurt.
Yeah, me too.
If I'm wanting to turn my brights on, it's usually at the point of I'm already freaked out and I just, I need to get home.
Yep. No sooner had I turned on my lights, I could see something on the side of the road. It was coming out of the woods and towards the road. I couldn't make out what it was, and then we were passing it. As we'd gotten closer and I was able to distinguish it more clearly, I could only describe it as gray, even for my eyes being somewhat colorblind. Human-sized, fleshy, shaking thing.
Ugh.
Not shaking like a bag blowing in the wind or fabric caught on a tree. Besides, I had clearly watched it come from inside the woods, and it was shaking like it was having a convulsion. You ever see the Silent Hill movie? No, I never will.
Nope, I didn't.
Remember that thing on the road that attacks the lady cop? Like a person gift wrapped in their own skin. Oh, Jesus. God.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Okay. Like that, but less person and more shaky. Same color, though. I instantly asked if B had seen what I'd just seen, and she was thoroughly freaked out and described exactly what I saw. She said it seemed like it was the same fleshy material that Nose Guy always was. Now, this part is strange to me because it's a bit of a departure from everything else we've experienced. It seems entirely unrelated to everything else besides her relation to the Nose Guy. But it's important to me because it's the first unexplainable thing I've ever seen for myself. Every story up until now has happened around me. I've felt them. Everyone's stories keep matching up, and I did feel something close the door, but this was the first thing I actually saw with my own eyes. No! Oh, God,
You forgot about something, didn't you?
I forgot about this. My dumbass needed closure, so I actually turned the car around to go check what it was.
Oh, my God, no! Okay.
Yep. There wasn't anything there.
Yep.
No semi-truck tarp caught on a tree, no amygdalation of small garbage cans creating a larger scary garbage bag, and no spooky Silent Hill monster. I was a bit shaken, though. Understandably. Now, this is the last and most... Oh, God, this is local. I forgot that. And most recent story. I'm currently in Pasco, Washington.
Oh, my God.
It was all together with naps and food stops over a two-day drive. We made the usual rest stops off the toll roads at the designated rest areas. Everything was totally normal. But at one of the rest areas, we'd split and went to our own respective restrooms. Myself to the men's and her to the ladies. I got out before her and was checking out the snack machines. Which, Wisconsin, why do you have cheese curds and pickles in your snack machines?
Why don't you?
Anyway, yeah, I would love that. When she came out, I take note that she came out of the ladies' room on the opposite side of the rest area. I didn't think too much of it, but I did notice it. She seemed off, but we kept moving on. Thinking back, I should have asked her if she was all right. Rest areas can be shady. So we drove for another day, and we're about 6 hours away from our destination. I remember looking at the woods next to us and remembering the thing we saw in Georgia. I got thinking about everything, and I asked her if it was relieving for her that I had seen it as well. My logic here is that she's always questioned herself and the things she's seen. Since she's the only one that's seen them, I think that's natural. She said, it was relieving to her that I had seen it, but it also terrifies her because it makes her wonder if everything else is in her head or if it's all real. Mm-hmm. She said if they're all real, she doesn't want to be alive anymore, which is super heavy, and I don't blame her. Yeah, nope, I don't either.
That's a lot of shit to try and process.
Yeah, if she's seen things like that her whole life, then I don't know if I'd want to continue either, especially if they're real. So I got thinking about everything again, and I asked her out of nowhere if she thought the woman she saw was what had lured my daughter upstairs. She starts panicking. I mean, scared for her life. Started crying and telling me, no, 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 don't talk about her. She was so afraid, and she started looking in the back of the car to make sure she wasn't in the car. This idea and her panic, of course, terrified me as well. She told me, through her tears, that the previous day at the rest area, when she'd gone into the first woman's restroom, she looked around the corner and looked in, and she was there.
Mm.
She slowly lifted her head above the wall of the stall and looked back at her. I assume with the same smile she told me about before, but I can't say for certain, and I didn't want to ask. I just tried to calm her down. She didn't want me to talk about her or bring her up. She thought that even the fact that I thought about her and mentioned her wasn't a coincidence. I reassured her it was, but it made me question it as well. We haven't spoken about it in so long that it is pretty coincidental. The reason it terrified her so much was because it's the second time she's seen her. Only Tubman and Nose Guy have ever been repeating. And now she is too. The idea that something like that could fall us out of state scared me more than anything. That's really all I've got. I've pretty much spent all day typing this up and making it coherent. I don't know if anyone's going to get through this. We did.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of desperate. I need to know if anyone else has had similar experiences, if anyone knows anything about this, if we need a medium or we need psychiatric help. I don't know what to do. I'm open to both. There's so many little details and bits and pieces I've probably missed, but I've done the best I could to try and explain everything I found important. I hope I haven't forgotten anything too big. Thank you for reading, and if you've made it this far. They did have some little edits. They said, confusions of our trips. Michigan was a one-week trip there and back. Georgia was a job, and there was also there and back to Indiana. Wisconsin was on the way from Indiana to Washington. About parents having experiences. They've never asked the parents if they had any experiences or anything of the sort. They're highly skeptical of everything and logical to a fault. They said my dad was likely to believe that his own mother believed that the house was haunted, not the house that we lived in, but I think he just decides it's easier not to bother with. And said that nothing like this had ever happened before B, yes and no, nothing of this caliber. I've seen shadows in the corners of my vision, felt like I was being watched, had a particularly strange and bad dream about being stabbed by a knife in my own house with that nobody was holding.
This sounds like it could be one of many things. One, B sounds like she's got a couple of attachments that could do with some banishing. Two, there probably is some mental health aspect that's, because sometimes having mental health situations both opens you up to it and makes it more likely to happen. Two, make sure you also go ahead and check for any kind of gas leaks, because sometimes that can also have you seeing things.
Right.
And, like, drawing you to do weird shit, like going upstairs when you shouldn't be going upstairs and staring into locations. But, like, I'd be trying everything right about now if I was them. Like, literally just throw every resource you've got at it. Like, let's get psychological help. Let's get psychiatric help. Let's get spiritual help. Let's do all of it.
All of it.
All of it.
Like, that's possibly the longest story I've ever read.
Yeah.
But, yeah, horrifying.
I am worried about them now.
I am too. And that was like within the last like 5 days, I think that was posted.
I just, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm worried about them.
Yeah. Don't like it. Yep.
Okay.
So do you have one more or do we want to do palate cleansers?
I have no more. I think we should end on that sucker.
Okay.
I'm going to be thinking about that for a while.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't get the gift wrap in its own skin out of my head.
That's awful.
Again, we have a whole day.
A whole day. Thank goodness.
Whole day.
I'm going to go play with puppies after this. Yeah.
Okay, so palate cleansers.
Yes.
Palate cleansers.
Number one, let's think about puppies. Number two, let's get some puns and but really do check for like carbon monoxide leaks as well. Like that could be something.
Yeah, please
like check for everything.
Just check all the boxes that you possibly can.
Sage it, salt it. I wouldn't go full exorcism yet because those sound harrowing off of the few exorcism stories we've done.
Yep. And again, guys, if you have stories, send it to us. Like,
we will read them. And we
will read them.
We're also, I shouldn't say I am obsessive about things. So if you start sending like, hey, I need help with this thing, I'm probably going to go find something that might help you. Just FYI.
Yeah. That's just us.
Okay. So I'm not alone. I can say we.
No.
I can royal we that. Yeah. We will probably find you help.
Yes. Okay, so puns/funnies, because we need it.
Yes.
I feel like we've done this one, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
What do you call an alligator detective?
Investigator.
Yep.
We've done that one. I love that one. What did one blade of grass say to another about the lack of rain? I guess we'll just have to make do.
Okay. I was trying to come up with some kind of a drought thing, but... What's the difference between the bird flu and the swine flu?
Feathers.
One requires tweetment, and the other an ointment.
Oh my goodness. Okay. What lies at the bottom of the ocean and twitches?
Oh, I...
It's not as dark as you're thinking.
A nose guy.
Nope. A nervous wreck. Oh. Oh, don't say nose guy. Oh. Do you know why you shouldn't visit an expensive wig shop?
Because I'll buy it all.
It's too high a price to pay. To pay.
That's good. If athletes get athlete foot, what do elves get?
Jingle bells? I don't know.
Mistletoes.
Ah, that makes more sense. You know, I'm a really big fan of whiteboards. I find them remarkable.
Which apparently... Oh, no, that's blackboards. There's a hack where you use, like, Coca-Cola to clean your blackboards, and it apparently gets all the stuff off.
Oh, my goodness. Don't drink Coca-Cola is what that tells me.
Yep.
Yikes.
After a crime, a detective noted that he thought it was foul play. The other detective said, "What, you mean he was playing with birds?" I don't know why I'm on, like, a policeman one here, but what did the policeman say to his belly button?
You're under arrest? What?
Close. You're under a vest.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Did you hear about the auto body shop that just opened?
No.
It comes highly recommended.
Unless it's the one near us that, like, just caught on fire.
Yeah, that sounds like more of a wreck than I'm looking for. If you were fruit, you'd be a fine apple. That's just a pickup line.
That is. You should get this one.
Okay.
Why do seagulls fly over the sea?
Evolution?
Because if they flew over a bay, they'd be called a bagel.
Oh my goodness. Okay. do you know what job the frog had at the hotel?
No.
He was the bellhop.
Nah.
Do you know how to put a baby alien to sleep?
With a little rocket?
Rocket! You rocket! Do you know what to call an owl that does magic tricks?
A Houdini.
A Houdini.
Do you know why bees have sticky hair?
No.
They use honeycombs.
Oh my gosh.
What did the yoga instructor say when her landlord tried to evict her? Namaste.
I was trying to be like, yoga, out of here. Like, you gotta get out of here. It was kind of, it was not working. You know, last time I got stealing a calendar, I got 12 months. Do you know what you call a laughing motorcycle? Yamaha.
All right, this is my last one.
Okay.
What do sea monsters eat? Fish and chips.
Okay, mine is also food related in my last one. What did the termite say when they walked into the bar?
I don't know.
Where is the bartender? Because I want to eat the bar.
Nom, 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 nom,
nom. Yes. Okay.
I feel like that's sufficiently recouped from the spooky.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
That was.
I am very worried for those people. And, yeah.
I'm gonna have to go back and read the comments, because now I'm curious.
Yeah. Okay. Should we wrap it up?
I think so.
Okay. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening, everyone, and check back next Sunday for another episode. If you need any extra spookums, make sure to check out our mini stories at waittopanic.com. And if you have any stories, puns, or corrections to share, please send us an email at waittopanicpodcast@gmail.com. Make good choices, and remember,
wait to panic.